And last week we got into the Babylon captivity, which, as we know, was the judgment of God upon Judah, not only Judah, but was on Israel as well. Israel carried away earlier. We're to the second point in that part. The first part was the judgment was severe, young, old. It said even those who were stooped didn't matter. The judgment of God was on them, and we pointed out last week, and we'll probably be pointing out again getting into the book of Ezekiel itself, that when judgment falls upon a nation, even those who are living godly will suffer to a degree when that time comes. But the second point is the land lay desolate while they were in captivity. And we see this in verse 21 of the 36th chapter of 2 Chronicles. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. 70 years. The land lay desolate, and as our verse said, our text said, it was to fulfill the promise of the Lord at the mouth of Jeremiah. The land, Israel, was commanded to honor Sabbaths, and there were different Sabbaths. And she was commanded to honor those Sabbaths. And even down to the releasing of servants at the end of 6 years. And the year of Jubilee. But we see in her departure from the Lord and her rebellion against the Lord that why she brought the abominations, her abominations into the house of the Lord even. She wasn't keeping the Sabbaths, wasn't honoring those Sabbaths. But now in the captivity, the land was going to enjoy her Sabbath, as was promised by God. Turn with me to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26. And let's go and begin reading with verse 28. Verse 34 is the one verse I'm wanting in particular, but let's begin reading with verse 28. Then I will walk contrary unto you, also in fury, and I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. You see, if they rebelled against God and didn't keep all His commandments, and particularly if you go back a couple chapters there in Leviticus, and you see He set forth the law of the Sabbath, and even the law concerning the year of Jubilee, if she did not obey those commandments, the Lord would send her, disperse her among the nations, and the land would be desolate, and He would get His Sabbath, you see. Also, the reason for this is noted in verse 35. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when ye dwelt upon it. God's judgment upon Israel and upon Judah both was because they failed to keep His commands. They rebelled against Him and worshipped other gods and did not honor His Sabbath, did not keep them holy unto Him as He had commanded them. We see also in the book of Hosea chapter 2, in verse 9, therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. Basically, there's going to be a famine, he said. They're not going to bless you. The land's going to lay desolate. I'm going to recover my Sabbath, he said. Attached to sabbatical rest was not only that of the land, but also of servants. We've already mentioned that, and this is mentioned especially in the word of Jeremiah, which our text mentioned, to keep the word of Jeremiah. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 34. And we're going to begin reading with verse 12 through the end of the chapter. There's about 11 verses there, but that gives us the real gist. But particularly notice verses 13 and 14 when we get there. Therefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondmen, saying, At the end of 7 years, let ye go every man his brother, an Hebrew, which hath been sold unto thee, and when he hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And ye were now turned, and had done right in my sight, in proclaiming liberty, every man to his neighbor. And ye had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant, and every man his handmaid, whom he had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return, and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty every one to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant, which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof, the princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests, and all the people of the land, which passed between the parts of the calf, I will even give them into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowls of the heaven and to the beasts of the earth. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes will I give into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which are gone up from you. Behold, I will command, saith the Lord, and cause them to return to the city, and they shall fight against it, and take it, and burn it with fire, and I will make the cities of Judah desolation, without an inhabitant. And we saw that last week, how severe that the judgment of God was upon them, and now the land is going to lay desolate for 70 years. It's going to enjoy her Sabbaths. Then, thirdly, in the fall and exile of Judah, we have the proclamation of Cyrus, king of Persia. What a blessed proclamation that is. Look with me at verses 22 and 23 of this 36th chapter. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. If you were Jew or an Israelite, what a blessed proclamation that would be. A proclamation to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. The Lord's promise. The Lord promised it. The land would only lay desolate for 70 years. Turn with me back to the book of Jeremiah again. In chapter 25. Jeremiah 25. And look at verse 12. And it came to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. Now that struck me. A perpetual desolation. And as best as I recollect history, and I've thought about it, when Babylon was overthrown, she's not been a world power since, other than at Rome, in the person of the Catholic Church. So make her a perpetual desolation. And we know even concerning the harlot, Rome, Babylon, today's Babylon, we know even concerning her that there's coming a time when she's going to be made a perpetual desolation. Four?
This was four there?
Mind you, they were God's instrument to bring the wrath upon God's people. But because of their misuse and abuse of God's people, God's going to do this to them. And the same thing with Babylon today, Rome. Because of her abuse of God's people, particularly His churches, He's going to bring His judgment upon her. Well, let's continue to read. Just had to, that was a thought crossed my mind as I was studying. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. But 70 years. The Lord promised 70 years, that's it. And then He would put it in the hearts to rebuild the city, Jerusalem. Turn with me to the 29th chapter of Jeremiah in verse 10. Chapter 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Jeremiah wasn't the only one that received such words from the Lord. In the book of Daniel, chapter 5, if you remember in Daniel, Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, who'd taken over, had a vision, had a dream. This hand came out and wrote on the wall. In the book of Daniel, chapter 5, we read about that. In verse 17, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gift be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwellings was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Belshazzar was witness to all this in his father's abasement. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So we see the fall of the Babylonian kingdom coming about and being given to the Medes and the Persians. And then when Cyrus, well, we'll get into that. When Cyrus is reigning, they take over and rebuild, send a group to rebuild the city. Turn with me to the book of, I'm getting ahead of myself. Skip down the line. But the Lord's promise concerning the 70 years was fulfilled, and his promise to release the people and rebuild the temple, which we read there in verse 23 of our text. Now, we find this related to us if you turn back to the book of Ezra. Ezra, chapter 1. In verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of hosts hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So we see the proclamation goes forth for the Jews to go back to the land and to rebuild the city and the temple. The temple itself, close as you can figure, was in building approximately 23 years. It was started under Ezra. What faced opposition? Read the book of Ezra. Faced opposition. But the people had a heart to work. What work? The work of the Lord. And they were not discouraged in the matter, and the building went on. In Isaiah 44, yes, Isaiah even gets in on this. Isaiah 44 and verse 28. Verse 27 says, That saith to the deep,
be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. The temple, as we said, was proclamation went forth. It was rebuilt. The city was rebuilt. The walls were rebuilt. However, according to my understanding, the temple was never in its former glory as it was when it was Solomon's temple. But it was rebuilt. They now had a place to worship the Lord again. And best of my recollection, it was about 20 B.C. The temple was renovated under Herod the Great. Was renovated and became known as Herod's temple. I don't know why it would, but that's, I guess, because he was the ruler when the temple was renovated. And of course, then we know that the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 A.D. and has not been a temple there since. In fact, as near as they can tell, the Muslim, whatever you call it, sets on the spot. But that's gonna come down one day, and the temple's gonna be rebuilt one day. That also is promise of the Lord. When I was thinking about that, in studying this, I was thinking, you think about that. Yes, for a time they were permitted to go back to the land for a time, for a season. And maybe I ought to finish this point. I got one point left, and that is if they would repent and turn back to the Lord, and there was some, and God put it in their heart, and God said, oh, it's 70 years, but there was not a full and a complete surrender and repentance to the Lord. And that's why in 70 A.D. the temple was destroyed again. And I think it was around 100 A.D. they were expelled out of Jerusalem. At least in the 7th century, the Muslims overtook the site where the temple was and the city of Jerusalem. Of course, Israel, God put it in their heart to go back to the land, and in 1948 they became a nation again. And then we had the Six-Day War in 67, and they took over a part of that and part of where the temple was, but the United Nations has ruled that it was to remain under the, they said, how did they put that? The caretaking of the Muslim, Palestinians and Jordan and so forth. But let that be as it may. But I was thinking, 7th century, and if my information is correct, 100 A.D., it was 1948 when they became a nation again. 1,800 years. They were out of the land. No temple. They at least can go to the spot where the temple was. And pray to God, pray to Jehovah, and go through their rituals today. But for 1,800 years, over 1,800 years, God's judgment for their sin. We're going to read some scriptures. If they would repent and turn back to the Lord, and we know the Lord, at time of the tribulation, the Lord's going to put it into His elect, Israel. And they're going to see Him whom they've pierced. They're going to return unto the Lord, their God. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Look at verse 1. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey His voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto any outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will He fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and He will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all His commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as He rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. If thou turn with all thy heart and with all thy soul. If you love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul. And I couldn't help but think, yes, even in Deuteronomy, this part of it is prophetic. It's yet to come. There is coming a day. We know there's coming a day when the elect of Israel shall return unto the Lord. But oh, you think about what they've had to go through because they turned their backs upon the Lord, because their heart was not with Him, because they did not love Him, because they did not His commandments. 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, we have here in 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, the dedication of Solomon's temple and part of the prayer that he prayed at that time. In verse 44 of the 8th chapter of 1 Kings, he says, "If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name. Then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward them their land, which thou gavest unto their families, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. That is, if they go and are carried away to the enemy, if they would repent and turn their heart toward the Lord, then the Lord would hear them in their distress and hear them in their suffering and restore them. We could read in Jeremiah 31:18 and Lamentations 5:21, more of the same. We read last week, we read the book of Daniel chapter 9 and read several verses there, verses 16 through 19. We won't read them again, but Daniel said the same thing in his prayer. And then it was right after that Daniel had his vision, and a vision which he even confesses in the 12th chapter, not understanding it fully, you know. And the Lord said the words are shut, they're sealed, and you know, until the time of revelation, you see. So what's that say to us? Well, as we go through the book of Ezekiel, we'll probably talk about it some more, but we made the statement last week that when God's judgment falls, and I believe it's falling on the United States of America, but when it falls, we're going to be affected. And I believe many of God's people, myself included, will be deserving of it. But we don't have to continue on in a cold heart and cold spirit. We can love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. We can seek and endeavor to serve Him all the days of our life. Does our heart yearn for Him? Does our heart yearn for the Word of God? Does our heart yearn for obedience in the Word? God will hear. God will bless. God can bless us where we're at. God can bless us. God blessed Daniel where he was. I believe God blessed Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Oh, Jeremiah didn't want to go and preach the word of the Lord. And then he went and preached the word of the Lord, and see, Lord, I told you what they would do. And we have the book of Lamentations. It's the mournings of, it's the lamenting of Jeremiah. But you know, blessed verses in the book of the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. His compassions are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, he said. So Jeremiah experienced the faithfulness of God even in dark times. And Jeremiah wasn't exiled off to Babylon. Jeremiah was in the land of Israel yet, and prophesied to them, and had to suffer at the ungodly of his own people. You see, their cause. Shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer? Next week we will begin to get into the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel, Lord willing. Brother Mike, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you.